Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 84 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
They took three baby kittens that were 3 weeks old from their mother. That's against the law.
An Elliott County man who is facing animal cruelty charges says authorities improperly seized animals from his property.
Police in Letcher County are investigating the case of a body found near Neon.
Another case of hepatitis A has been uncovered at an Ashland restaurant.
The Moorhead Utility Plant Board is working toward the building of a new wastewater treatment facility.
A Moorhead facility will accept waste tires this weekend.
In sports, the Reds prepare for a series with Miami starting tomorrow.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy tonight with lows around 68 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Police are on the scene where a body was found on Hayman Hill near Neon. The Letcher County Community News is reporting that police believe the body is that of Ricky Gibson, who has been missing for several days. According to court documents, 38-year-old Clifford Caudle and 50-year-old Deidre Keithley were arrested and charged with the murder and the hiding of Ricky Gibson's body. According to an arrest citation, Caudle told detectives that an altercation occurred inside of a bathroom at his residence at Welch Hollow in Neon between he, Ricky Gibson, and two other individuals, one of whom was identified as Keithley. The altercation resulted in a shooting death of Gibson. Court documents said Caudle, Keithley, and another individual who was not named in the arrest citations filed in the case, transported Gibson's body from the scene in an attempt to conceal the alleged murder. Both Caudle and Keithley were charged with murder and tampering with physical evidence. They're lodged in the Letcher County Jail. The investigation is ongoing.
An Elliott County man who is facing multiple animal cruelty charges had animals seized from his property on Tuesday. Trixie Foundation owner Randy Skaggs was recently charged with 179 counts of animal cruelty and 179 counts of failure to vaccinate an animal for rabies. Skaggs says 18 animals were taken during a surprise visit, some of which are now in danger of dying.
We were in the process of loading animals into our van to take to get rabies vaccinations. We've already taken 68, but we were in the process of doing that, and all of a sudden a whole slew of vehicles showed up, the state police, the Department of Agriculture, investigator, animal control, and a whole bunch of people from a rescue group in Ohio.
Skaggs says the foundation has been working to comply with demands made after charges were filed against him. He had hoped to keep all of his animals until after his day in court, which is scheduled for May 24th in Elliott District Court.
Meanwhile, the Ohio Animal Shelter that took those animals in is now asking for the public's help. LEX18 had received numerous tips about the Trixie Foundation in Elliott County in the weeks leading up to the arrest of owner Randy Skaggs. He was arrested and charged with 179 counts of cruelty to animals. All Dogs Come From Heaven Rescue says many of the animals are in extreme poor health. Their vets say that some of the animals have infections, parasites, and deformed body parts. The group posted on its Facebook page about the Trixie Foundation, calling Skaggs an animal hoarder and abuser. The organization has 18 of the animals and are asking for donations to help with medical costs.
A Portsmouth, Ohio man is in the Rowan County Detention Center after leading Moorhead police on a lengthy foot chase that ended with his downtown arrest. Captain Kyle Callahan says 27-year-old Timothy Cassidy had been wanted on a charge of flagrant non-support, but is now facing several other allegations.
Along with the act of warrant, he was also charged with fleeing and evading second degree on foot, disorderly conduct second degree, resisting arrest, possession of controlled substance first, methamphetamine, promoting contraband first, and drug paraphernalia.
The incident began when a Moorhead police officer stopped Cassidy, who was on his bicycle, around 5:30 on Wednesday morning near the corner of North Wilson and 2nd Street. Cassidy then fled but was later cornered by three officers in the Moorhead Conference Center, where he surrendered. Sergeant Mark Hammond suffered a twisted knee during the pursuit of Cassidy. He was treated and released from St. Clair Regional Medical Center.
Lexington police are on the scene of a double shooting that occurred this morning. According to LAX 18, a nearby officer responded after hearing shots coming from an apartment complex on Cross Keys Road. The two people shot are expected to be okay. James Lane Allen Elementary School is within walking distance of the scene. The school was put on high alert as the two suspects were still on the run. K-9 units have been employed. There was an altercation prior to the shots, and officers don't believe the shooting was random.
A troubled state broadband project is going under the microscope again. As WUKY's Josh James reports, the top Republican in the House is calling for a second investigation into the project.
Kentucky Wire began under former Governor Steve Beshear with the promise of bringing high-speed internet access to far-flung, economically disadvantaged parts of the state. But long-running delays and cost overruns in the tens of millions have dampened enthusiasm for the project. Monday, House Speaker Pro Tem David Osborne called for a legislative investigation to run in tandem with an ongoing state audit. This is Representative Jason Nemes casting a very reluctant aye vote to salvage the project in April.
This was an absolute sham perpetuated on the Commonwealth of Kentucky. It is an important project, and we've got to go through with it because of the position that we're in. But this is an outrageous example of bad government.
To date, only 708 of 3,400 miles of cable have been completed because of delayed agreements with companies that own the existing utility poles. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Kentucky health officials say the hepatitis A outbreak may get worse before it gets better. WSAZ reports the average number of cases of hepatitis A in Kentucky is 20 a year, but 400 cases have been reported in the last 6 months. Dr. Jeffrey Howard is acting Kentucky Commissioner for Public Health.
This has been going on across the country for about 2 years, so if that's any precedent, we may consider ourselves being in this predicament at least a year from now.
Howard says health officials immediately launched an investigation when a case is reported, especially when it's at a restaurant. Three deadly cases of Hep A have been reported in Kentucky, though officials say victims had pre-existing health conditions.
The Ashland-Boyd County Health Department has found another case of hepatitis A at a restaurant, Texas Roadhouse, making it their second case since April. WMKY's Kinsey Thompson reports.
The Tuesday investigation revealed the disease in an employee who was handling food at the restaurant. According to the Daily Independent, the investigation reports a very low chance of restaurant patrons becoming infected, since the health department has still not confirmed any transmission from that case. The disease was first detected there in April in a food preparation worker. The restaurant and health department are currently working together on ways to prevent the disease from reoccurring in the future. The restaurant said they have been taking safety measures before every employee's shift to make sure they are not working while they are sick, which is how they found the disease in the most recent case. Every employee has been vaccinated, but they believe the employee was exposed to the disease at least 2 weeks before the vaccination. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Kinsey Thompson.
A woman bitten by a venomous snake in the Red Ridge River Gorge prompted a safety reminder yesterday. Powell County Search and Rescue says the hiker was bitten by a copperhead on Martin's Fork Trail. The woman was bitten on the ankle and was carried off the trail to an ambulance. The hiker's current condition is unclear. The search and rescue team reminds hikers to wear boots and long pants and watch where they step.
Kentucky's auditor says a review of the state's fire commission has turned up questionable expenditures from a fund meant to support fire departments. The report released Thursday by Auditor Mike Harmon questions spending $150,000 for annual firefighter competitions between 2014 and 2017. It says money went for hotel and meals for fire commission employees and entry fees for fire departments. It says $51,000 went for fire commission employees, honor guards, and families of firefighters to attend the National Firefighter Memorial Weekend. Several lawmakers requested the review of the Kentucky Firefighters Foundation Program Fund. Its funding comes from a surcharge tax on casualty and property insurance premiums paid by Kentuckians. The surcharge generated about $44 million in fiscal year 2016. According to the Associated Press, a call seeking comment from the Kentucky Fire Commission was not immediately returned.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the City of Moorhead and the Moorhead Police Department, sponsoring an armored truck pull at the Moonlight Stage on Saturday, May 26th. Activities begin at 9 a.m. and the truck pull at 10. Team trophies for fastest time, team costumes, largest team, dead last, and more. Proceeds support the Round County Special Olympics. Forms available from the Moorhead Police Department or by calling Kim Fannin at 513-658-8080.
Moorhead State University published an update to its three-year-old self-study last week. The Dean's Council reviewed the 2014-15 self-study, and with input from department chairs, faculty members, and associate deans, conducted an analysis of the present state of MSU programs. Provost Dr. Steve Ralston says the update also follows newly revised mandates, which require annual program health checks. Ralston says the update shows the university won't need drastic cuts to faculty, which has been seen at other universities across the state.
We've done it every year, watching how things are doing, you know, always being careful. The self-study also started a process for market-based analysis of potential new programs. We used that to start the Family Nurse Practitioner. The spring BSN cohort, about three or four or five programs we've added using market research, and some we didn't.
Ralston does not expect any action to be taken following this study update. He does hope to see continued improvement within individual programs.
The Gateway Area Development District held a special meeting on Wednesday to honor one of their own. Gail Wright is retiring after 30 years as the organization's executive director and 40 years with the district. U.S. Representative Hal Rogers attended the meeting and presented Wright with a statement he made before the U.S. House, commending her for a job well done.
She's been an incredible force for the Gateway area. She knows the inner workings of grant funding. She knows how to bring strategic partners together. She's passionate about making this region better.
Wright will retire at the end of May. Josh Farrow, who has served as the district's Associate Director of Project Development, will be the new Executive Director starting June 1st.
The Moorhead Utility Plant Board continues to take strides towards the building of a new wastewater treatment plant. According to MUPB General Manager Holly McGrath-Rosas, they're into the planning and design phase of the estimated $28 million project, which has been funded.
So we're moving forward with our engineer and in the planning and design. And this coming fall, I think it is. I think it's this fall is when we will start going out for the second phase of it, which would be going out for the money for the construction of the new raw water intake.
That will be happening at Cave Run Lake. After the design and planning phase is done, the raw water intake will be built, then the new plant itself, its new water tank, with any needed upgrades being made to its water distribution system to follow. McGrath-Rosas says the entire effort should take 4 years to complete. With its current wastewater treatment plant operating near its 8 million gallon per day capacity, the state is mandating the MUPB construct a larger replacement facility.
The Rowan County Fiscal Court, in cooperation with Advanced Disposal of Moorhead, will sponsor a waste tire disposal program this Saturday. The first 1,800 tires will be accepted free of charge, but any additional tires will be accepted for $2.13 apiece. Passenger, light truck, agricultural, lawn, tractor, ATV, and bicycle tires will all be accepted. Rowan County Solid Waste Coordinator Tyler Brown says old tires pose a potential health risk.
Mainly these tires, they're a hazard to the area. If they're kept around people's homes, they can cause mosquitoes. It's definitely an issue as far as that goes. You could have snakes. Snakes are a good possibility, and you know, other critters. But the biggest thing probably to harm people are the mosquitoes.
The waste tire disposal event will take place at Advanced Disposal of Moorhead, which is located on Phelps Road near the junction of Interstate 64 and Kentucky 801, this Saturday from 8 to noon. And taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area, tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows around 68 degrees. Tomorrow, cloudy with highs of around 90. Tomorrow night, there's a 40% chance of rain with lows around 60. On Saturday, highs around 72. There's an 80% chance of rain throughout the day on Saturday, and a 90% chance of rain on Saturday night with lows around 58. And on Sunday, a 90% chance of rain showers all day, highs still around 70. Looking at temperatures around the region, it's currently 86 degrees in Ashland, 88 in Inez, 81 in Flemingsburg, 82 in Winchester, 83 in Lexington, and it's 85 degrees here on the campus of MSU.
On our feature segment today, an Eastern Kentucky hip-hop artist talks about the struggles of being a Kentucky rapper and how he managed to make it on the iTunes chart. WMKY's Cody Robinson has the story.
Kentucky is not commonly known for its hip-hop music, but one Pike County artist is breaking the mold.
In your dream, set a match to the past like it's gasoline. Not expecting a crutch, not expecting no help. Nope. You believe it, then you gotta see it through by yourself.
And when that song comes from Eric Pistol Combs, an emerging artist whose debut EP, Pistol, recently broke the iTunes Top 100 hip-hop albums. Combs' interest in rap began before he was even a teenager, when his cousin first introduced him to the hip-hop scene.
I've been rapping, honestly, since I was about 12 years old. That's when I got my first rap album, and I had never even heard it before then. I'd never even heard hip-hop. And I got it. Man, the way the beats dropped and everything like that, I was like, wow, man, this is crazy.
Since then, Combs has had a love for the genre, constantly writing lyrics and producing music. His biggest influence comes from one of the most widely recognized and successful rap artists in history.
I don't think like my flows or like the way I ride the beat, I actually modeled after anybody. I just kind of worked that one out on my own. But as far as like the way I write and the things I like to talk about, was definitely Eminem. I mean, it was definitely.
Combs says his EP doesn't have the type of music you'll typically hear in a club or blasting through a set of subwoofers. Instead, Pistol takes more of an emotional approach to hip-hop and reflects some of the life struggles Combs was going through during the production.
It's very personal. It's in your face. I wrote it at a deep part of my life, so to me, those lyrics are deep. To some other people, they may not be, but to me, they are.
Combs says the biggest obstacle in his journey to the top 100 was getting recognized in the midst of Kentucky's bluegrass culture. There were several times where he thought it would be impossible to blow up as a hip-hop artist in an area where rap is less popular than other genres.
There were so many times I was just like, this isn't going to happen for me because I just can't get the support behind it. You know, country music, bluegrass, all that, that's part of the actual roots and culture. Hip-hop's just not part of the culture here, and that's something I just had to accept. It's a bigger battle and it's a bigger fight than people really understand.
But since his debut on iTunes, Combs is now more motivated than ever to make music for his fans, even though he recognizes the difficulties coupled with being an Eastern Kentucky hip-hop artist.
I know that getting that fan base and keeping the momentum going from here on out, I know that's going to be hard, but I have a lot more faith now seeing how people got behind me and just the love and everybody that's reached out to me, man, and you know, just talk to me about my music.
However, Combs says success and popularity have nothing to do with why he's a rapper, but rather attributes his love for making music.
Even if this EP hadn't have been successful, I would have still kept rapping. You would see me try it again, you know, a year from now, because it's therapeutic to me, and I love it. It's just like if somebody loves to paint, they're going to paint every day, and it doesn't matter if you like their painting or not.
To help guide him to the iTunes chart, Combs says he followed three principles that any aspiring artist can start using immediately.
Do not in any way expect a handout or somebody to help you, because odds are they're probably not going to. Number two, don't give up, man. Anything great anybody's ever did in their life, they had to go through turmoil, they had to go through negative aspects of it. You just got to brush that off and keep going. And number three, man, invest in yourself. I think that is the most important one, and that is what I figured out the last year.
You can stream Combs' self-titled EP, Pistol, on Apple Music or Spotify, and learn more about Combs on his website, pistolrap.com. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
It's 449 and 85 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Fiscal Court, sponsoring a Waste Tire Disposal Day at Advanced Disposal of Moorhead, 300 Old Phelps Road. The first 1,800 tires will be accepted from 8 a.m. to noon on Saturday, May 5th. Accepted tires are passenger, light truck, lawn tractor, farm, ATV, and bicycle. No tires on rims, heavy equipment, foam, or calcium filled. Open to Rowan County citizens, must provide a valid driver's license. More information at 784-6345.
Reds take a break. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds are taking a breather today as they get set to take on Miami tomorrow at 7:10 in the opener of a three-game series at Great American Ballpark. Last night, despite a strong outing by starting pitcher Luis Castillo, Milwaukee finished off a three-game sweep of the Reds with a 3-1 victory over them in the Queen City. The Brewers impressed interim manager Jim Riggleman.
They got a good ball club and a little bit of a sneaky bullpen, you know, outstanding bullpen that I think in the offseason maybe people didn't recognize how good that bullpen was going to be, but they've really been good, and everybody they sent out there this series was really good.
The 7-24 Reds are preparing to face a Miami team that's also struggled. At 11-19, the Marlins sit dead last in the National League East. Some other notes from Major League Baseball. Seattle Mariners outfielder Ichiro Suzuki is transitioning out of a playing role and will serve as a special assistant to the chairman. The 10-time All-Star and 2001 American League MVP will provide input on outfield play, base running, and hitting while serving as a mentor to players and staff. Also, Major League Baseball intends to announce next week that the New York Yankees and Boston Red Sox will play two games at London's Olympic Stadium in June of next year, according to the Associated Press. The 2019 games are set for June 29th and 30th. They will be the first regular season games the MLB has played in Europe. The Morehead State baseball team hopes to start firming up its claim on the second seed in the upcoming OVC tournament. With non-regular season league games to go, Coach Mike McGuire and his Eagles are tied with Eastern Kentucky for that spot, with three other teams right on their heels.
Everything's pretty jumbled, and it's not going to be decided really until the last weekend. I think we've got to take care of business at home this weekend. Unfortunately, a couple of the teams right around us hold tiebreakers. They're clubs that we played early in the year when we weren't healthy and lost series to. So, you know, we've got to basically take care of business and win one more and then the rest of the way out.
At 14-7, MSU begins a three-game weekend series with Jacksonville State tomorrow evening at 5 at Allen Field. The Gamecocks are one of the teams chasing the Eagles and EKU. The Morehead State softball team will close out the regular season with a pair of OVC doubleheaders away from home. At 8-10 in the conference and holders of the eighth and final tournament spot, Coach David Williams' Eagles will play at Eastern Illinois tomorrow and SIU Edwardsville on Saturday.
Honestly, we could be as high as fifth after this weekend. So, you know, we feel good about where we're at. Obviously, we got to take care of ourselves first and foremost and not really worry about what kind of help we can get along the way, but we just need to take care of ourselves and make sure we're in the tournament. But I do feel like we're in a good situation. We're playing pretty well.
The MSU softball team is just one game behind 7th place UT Martin and two games behind 6th place Eastern Illinois in the OVC standings. The matchups for the KHSAA baseball and softball state tournaments were drawn today. On the baseball side, the 16th region drew the 3rd region and will get the tournament started on Thursday, June the 7th. Greenup County is the favorites to come out of the 16th, while Ohio County is the favorites out of the 3rd. And in the softball state tournament, it matches the 16th region up with the 6th region for the opening round on June the 7th as well. Louisville Holy Cross is currently the favorites to win the 6th region, with East Carter the heavy favorites to win the 16th, and one of the favorites to win the state championship this year. In the NBA, semifinal action of the Eastern Conference continues tonight with two games. First at 6, the Cleveland Cavaliers will look to steal another game in Toronto and go up 2-0 on the Raptors. The Cavs were able to win Game 1 despite star forward LeBron James, shooting just 12 of 30 for the game.
I definitely wasn't efficient as I like to be. I missed a lot of open looks, a lot of open threes that they were going under, you know, a lot of floaters in the lane, you know, but at the end of the day, only thing that matters is trying to get a win, and my teammates stepped up when I wasn't as, you know, wasn't at my best.
Then at 8:30, the Celtics will look to take a 2-0 series lead on the 76ers in Boston. The Celtics took the first game of the series without forward Jaylen Brown, whose status for Game 2 is still up in the air, according to head coach Brad Stevens.
He just went through a running progression. I have not talked to our training staff. I watched it. I don't know what that means. You know, and He did not go through any of practice yesterday. And so we'll see if he's able to go through any of walkthrough. And if he is, then, you know, he'll be a game time decision.
Brown suffered a hamstring injury in the Celtics' Game 7 win over Milwaukee last weekend. A member of the Cincinnati Bengals' offensive line admits things with that group are in a state of flux right now. Veteran guard Clint Bowling says that the Bengals trading for tackle Cordy Glenn and drafting Ohio State center Billy Price, it will take some time for the team's O-line to develop the right chemistry. They're also getting used to new coach Frank Poliak, who joined Cincinnati in the offseason after 5 years with the Cowboys.
Different personality, I think, you know, we're all trying to learn. He's, you know, obviously been a good coach for a good group down in Dallas, and I think, you know, as long as, you know, we're ready to work and kind of try and learn new things, and he's trying to feel us out and see exactly what we can do. So I think it's just going to be a learning process through this spring and, you know, try and work as fast and as quick as possible to get ready for the season.
Bowling is a longtime member of the Bengals offensive line. He's going into his seventh season with the club. Finally, in sports, Justify has been installed as the early 3-1 favorite to win this weekend's running of the Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs. Trained by the legendary Bob Baffert, the colt drew the number 7 post position yesterday. While he likes his horse's chances, Baffert says winning the 144th run for the Roses is in no way a given.
We have a good enough horse that could win it, but it's a very competitive race. Most competitive race. I was watching those horses train out there, that Magnum Moon, Bolt D'Oro. They're just incredible horses. They're tough.
European challenger Middleston is the second favorite at 5-1 odds. He starts from gate 14. Magnum Moon is listed as 8-1. He runs from the number 16 post position. At sports for WMKY, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Baseball welcomes Jacksonville State this weekend and Western Carolina on Wednesday, May 16th. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The Dow Industrials erased a nearly 400-point loss as tailwinds from strong earnings helped the index snap a 4-day losing streak. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did manage to eke out a small gain of 5.17 at 23,930.15. The S&P 500 was down 5.94 at 2629.73. And the NASDAQ Composite finished with a loss of 12.75 at 7,088.15. The NASDAQ's move higher in the afternoon was buoyed quite a bit by a rebound in Amazon and Apple shares, as well as a 0.6% gain in software giant Microsoft. Also, enterprise technology company Cisco added 1.3%. Boeing, which has struggled for gains since reporting earnings last week, helped carry the Dow higher this afternoon, with the aircraft manufacturer rallying more than 2%. Shares of fellow industrial company 3M gained 0.8%. Tesla reported better than forecast quarterly results yesterday after the close. The stock did drop 6% today after CEO Elon Musk dismissed questions from analysts regarding gross margins and Model 3 production. Meanwhile, Church & Dwight, Blue Apron, and Express Scripts all posted results that beat the street's forecasts. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.7% at $68.48 a barrel. Gold was up 0.5% at $1,312.20 an ounce. Bitcoin finished up 4.5% at $9,632. Overseas, in Europe, stocks were weak, with the Stock 600 index down 0.75%. And in the Far East, stocks were weak as well, with the Nikkei down almost 0.2%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 1.375%. Among Dow Industrials, the best performers were Boeing and Cisco, while the worst performers were Nike and GE. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Vulcan Materials and Marathon Oil, while the worst performers were Cardinal Health and Huntington Ingalls. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 18 cents at 71.48. CSX down 29 cents at 59.09, AEP up 4 cents at 69.23, AK Steel up 3 cents at 4.34, Marathon Petroleum up $1.64 at 77.48, and U.S. Bancorp was up 13 cents, finishing at 49.99. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Peyton Stewart, Arlo Barnett, Kenzie Thompson, Brian Courtney, Jacob Lindberg, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Braxton Howard. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke And our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Cody Robinson. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.